A couple weeks ago, I did a lesson on Simeon and Anna about the birth of Christ, and I mentioned that we know the Bible tells us to celebrate his death, not his birth, but I think this is a good time as the world is thinking of Christ to bring out some lessons from God's word that's centered around that time. On the bulletin sheet that you have, you see the title is, Are You as Wise as the Wise Men? And I want us to consider some thoughts about that this morning. And let's look back at chapter 2, and we'll start back at verse 1 and read a few more verses. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when he had found him, Bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. So, the wise men. We see them many places this time of the year, and many people have some wrong ideas or misconceptions about them. One of those misconceptions, people believe that there were three. The Bible doesn't say. They base that on the number of gifts, but the Bible does not say. Another misconception you see around these nativity scenes where the wise men are at the manger. But what does verse 11 say? And when they had come to the house, they saw the young child with Mary. So I don't want to get into some of the misconceptions and how people view them, but I want to get into some lessons. Are we as wise as the wise men? And when we consider wisdom, James 3:15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's a couple different types of wisdom. James here is talking about the wisdom of the world. But James 3:13, Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. We are to be wise. We are to have wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:21, For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. So let's notice some lessons that we can learn from these wise men. One of the first lessons we should learn is that they were interested. They were interested in this Christ. Why? Well, one of the reasons we know, later revealed to us, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. All the riches of glory and the hope that we have is wrapped up in Christ. The wise men were interested in that. We should be interested in that also. In John chapter 6, Simon Peter speaking, he answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." We should be interested in Jesus because he has the words of eternal life. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Are you interested in being saved? The only name that we can be saved by is Christ. It's Christ. Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Again, Jesus is equivalent to the Old Testament Joshua, which means Savior. We all need a Savior. We should all be interested in having a Savior. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Are you interested in the one that has all authority? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." The wise men were interested in this Christ. If we want to be as wise as the wise men, we had better be interested in this Christ also. Another lesson to learn, notice they were ready to search. They were ready to search to find this Christ. Isaiah 55:6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." Now is the time to search. Don't wait till later. Later may be too late. We have no guarantee of tomorrow. Now is the time. If you have not found Jesus, now is the time to search for him and find him. You think of Noah when he preached all of those years, and then the flood came. What do you think a bunch of them were doing? They were knocking on that door trying to get in, and it was too late. We need to be ready to search and seek Christ now. Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Again, that's from the Sermon on the Mount. I meant to say at the beginning, I wanted to take a break today. We'll go back to the Sermon on the Mount next week. But in the sermon that Jesus recorded, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Seek it. Matthew 13:45, "And the kingdom of heaven," which we know is the church, "the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man seeking the goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." So this merchant man is seeking costly, good pearls. And when he finds it, he sells everything that he has so he can acquire this. Would he have found it without searching? Probably not. Probably not. Would the wise men have found Christ without searching? No, they were searching. They were looking for the Christ. Notice too, a third lesson we should learn. They did not have to be begged to search for Christ. The news of the birth of Christ troubled Herod, but it thrilled the wise men. They were glad that Christ was born. Look at all the begging that has gone in churches around the country to get people to be saved. We have to beg people to come to services. We have to beg people to study. We have to beg people to be baptized. These wise men, they didn't have to be begged. They didn't have to be begged. They wanted to search for Christ. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Are you eager to find rest for your soul? Or does somebody have to beg you? People are searching for rest for their souls in all the wrong places, and Christ is inviting us to come unto Him. Are we eager for Christ, or do we have to be begged? Revelation 22, 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Again, another invitation from Christ. Are we eager to answer that invitation? Or do we have to be begged? Are we as wise as the wise men? Notice a fourth point. They did not let someone else do their searching. In Matthew 2 and verse 8, And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. So they went searching for him. How about Herod? Did Herod search? No. Herod had somebody else do the searching for him. Well, how do we see that? What's the lesson for us? How does that compare today? Some people have their husband search for Christ. Some people have their wife search for Christ. Some people have their parents search for Christ. Some people have their preacher search for Christ. Friends, we should not let someone else do our searching. We need to be like the wise men and have that desire within us that we want to search and find Christ. We don't want to take somebody else's word for what they say we ought to do. We want to do that individually. Joshua warned the people in Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You see, worshiping God, worshiping Christ is an individual matter, and we must seek him individually. Don't take my word for anything. Don't take my word for anything. Open your Bibles and see what God says. It's God's word that's going to judge us in the last day. Not what I say, not what some other man say, not what this man says. We must seek and search individually. Don't let someone else do that for you. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And again, as we've seen from our study of Peter, throughout, since the beginning of time, there have been liars and deceivers. In the early church, there were false prophets, false teachers. Again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, Ye have heard that it was said, but I say unto you, we need to get away from listening to people and see what Jesus has to say to us. Acts 17:11, These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. And you know how often they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. They individually searched the scriptures daily. Friends, are we as wise as the wise men? Are we as wise, or do we let somebody else do our searching for us? Do we search once in a blue moon? We need to be searching for Christ individually, daily. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Well, a fifth lesson to learn from these wise men, they were not too proud to ask for guidance. Matthew 2 again. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born of the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. They're asking, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? They were not too proud to ask for guidance. I don't know if anybody in this audience can relate to this. If you've ever been in a car with somebody and you're trying to find some place and the other person says, well, why don't you stop and ask? Why don't you stop and ask for directions? These wise men were wise enough to ask for guidance. We have example after example in the New Testament. Acts 8:30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You just think about this Ethiopian treasurer. When Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? Oh yeah, I'm fine. I don't need it. I can figure it out for myself. The treasurer would have been lost. In Acts 18, verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So here's this man, Apollos. He was eloquent. He was mighty in the scriptures. But he didn't have all the truth. He didn't have all the truth. And then Aquila and Priscilla come to him, and he could have said, oh, no, I can figure it out for myself. I can figure it out. Friends, we should not be too proud that we do not ask for help or guidance in learning and knowing and obeying God's word. Notice also with these wise men that they were content with the light that God had given them. In Matthew 2:10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They saw the star and they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. That was the light that God had given them. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is the light that God has given us? It is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. It's His word, His revelation. It's the light that we have, the light to guide us from this world to our home in heaven. Our people content to follow the light? A lot of people today are not content to follow the light. It's plain, but they want to follow the creeds and thoughts and teachings of men. They want to follow their manuals. They want to just close this Bible and say it's outdated. But these wise men were content with the light that God had given them and wanted to follow it. Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path." If we want God to guide us, we have to use the light, the lamp that he has given us. Again, that is his word. Matthew 4:4. "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." God's words are what guide us through this journey. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Friends, just like God gave the wise men a light, God has given us a light, a light that furnishes us unto all good works. It'll make us perfect. It'll make us complete. It's everything that we need. We just have to follow it. Notice also that these wise men listened to the voice of God rather than men. In Matthew 2:12, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." So they had a choice. These wise men had a choice. Do we obey the king or do we obey God? And who did they choose? They chose to obey God and not man. They listened to the voice of God rather than the voice of man. Acts 5:29, "Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men." Romans 3:4, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged." Friends, if God tells us to do something, we're going to do what God says or what man says? We're going to do what God says or we're going to make excuses? You know, the king was expecting these wise men to come back and report to him. But when God spoke to them and warned them, they obeyed God. Jeremiah 10:23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." See, if we follow some man's teaching, we are going to get into trouble. Paul wrote in Galatians 1:6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed." Paul is pretty plain and straightforth to them. Even if an angel tells you something different than what I told you, something different from the gospel, don't listen to him. Friends, we need to obey the voice of God rather than man. Are we as wise as the wise men? Are we as wise? Well, notice also, they were willing to pay the price to find the Christ. Some people would not have gone on such a journey without first finding out whether or not the trip would justify their expense, their time, their effort. But they paid the price to go and find the Christ. They were willing to. Luke 14:33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. We have to pay the price when we become a Christian and search for Christ. And friend, whatever price we pay, we are going to be rewarded beyond imagination with what we give up, with what we receive. Notice too that these wise men did not stop until they found Christ. How many people do you think, and we probably know some personally, that started searching for God or religion and gave up along the way? They just gave up. Acts 26:28-29, then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. So Agrippa, it was like he mentally was starting on that journey, but he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But Agrippa stopped before he found Christ. And Paul said, I wish that you and everybody that hears me would be a Christian like me, except for these chains. Paul didn't wish chains on anybody, but he wished that everybody would be a Christian. Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Friends, these wise men did not stop until they found the Christ. Notice also they showed their devotion by worshiping. Some find Christ, but do not want to worship God through him. They say, well, I accepted Jesus, or I was baptized when I was a baby. They think that they have found him, but they do not show their devotion by worshiping God. John 4:23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We can't worship God half-heartedly, inconsistently. We have to be devoted in showing our adoration and praise and love to our Heavenly Father. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The assembly plays a large part in building each other up, exhorting each other, encouraging each other as we worship together. These wise men showed their devotion to Christ by worshiping him. Notice also they proved their sincerity by giving to Christ. A lot of times people will say, oh, I love Jesus. Well, prove it. Prove it. How much of your time, how much of your energy, how much of your money do you give to Christ? Matthew 2:11. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. What did they give to Christ? It says, they opened their treasures and presented gifts unto Christ. Do we give to Christ, do we give to God out of our treasures, or do we give to God out of our leftovers? Out of our leftovers. What are some of the most valuable things that we have? I would say time and energy are two of them. And how much of our time and energy do we give to the Lord? 2 Corinthians 8:24, "Wherefore show ye to them, and before the churches, the proof of your love and of your boasting on your behalf." So too, think with these wise men. And those treasures, they were costly. They were worth something. There was a sacrifice that they made by giving that to Christ. 2 Corinthians 8:8, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." Psalm 116:112, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" When you stop and think of everything that God has given to us, are we afraid we're going to give too much back to him? He has given us everything. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Sometimes, thinking in physical terms, we give gifts to one another, and someone might give us a gift first, and it's a really big gift. And we think, wow, I need to get somebody something equal or greater than this gift and not something smaller. We want to at least give something equal. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" We can give our whole life, and there's no way that our gift is going to be equal to what God gave us. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friends, are we as wise as the wise men? Are we interested like the wise men? Are we ready to search for Christ? Are we ready to search for Christ without being begged? Do we want to search for Christ personally, or do we want somebody else to do our searching for us? Are we too proud to ask for help or guidance in the search for Christ? Are we content with the light that God has given us, his word? Are we ready to listen to the voice of God and not man? Are we willing to pay the price to find Christ? Friends, it's going to be worth it. If we truly find Christ, whatever price we paid is going to be worth it. Friends, do not stop until you find him. Show your devotion to Christ by worshiping him, and prove your sincerity by giving to Christ. Are you wise? Are you wise as the wise man? Friends, if you are as wise as the wise men, we need to obey Christ. We need to obey Christ. If we are outside of his body, we need to get into his body. We need to be baptized so that we can be put into that body, added to the church, and then show our devotion, our love, our praise, our adoration. Or if we've done that and we've gone back into the world, we need to be wise. We need to wake up. We don't want to get caught up in that foolishness of the world. God has given us a life to follow, and we need to make our life right and make our life right with God. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.